Jeffrey?
Yeah?
Do you remember that moment that Nick Foles caught the game-winning touchdown pass?
Yes. In my heart of hearts, I knew we had won the Super Bowl, even though it was only the end of the first half. Brilliante! Now, I've been training salespeople for decades, and I still get that exact same feeling every time I make a sale, every time I help a salesperson make a sale.
Caught! Foles! Touchdown!
I'll be giving a seminar in Philadelphia on sales leadership on October the 18th and sales mastery on October the 19th at the Chubb Hotel and Conference Center. Get your tickets before they fly, Eagles fly away.
Go to cgittimer.com/Philadelphia or go find that link in the show notes.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
Understand that the best deal you can make is when both sides walk away happy and a little bit upset. When you kill somebody on a deal, just remember, life's long. And
Oh, yeah. Back,
like people don't forget. And I think what really Dave had to realize, because he really won that negotiation with Steinbrenner. But the problem is he won too big.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying, because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up, but first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die. Brandon Steiner is the CEO of Steiner Sports and is credited for inventing the highly popular Everything Bagel. I love that. Brandon is also known for being a master negotiator and has written the very popular 22 Steps to Mastering Negotiation. He has also written the book You Gotta Have Balls, Diehards. Welcome back for the second time, the great Brandon Steiner.
Hello.
Yeah, Brandon, you are you went to Syracuse University. You played ball with Carmelo Anthony?
No, I'm before that time.
I understand that. I'm trying to give you a compliment, yeah. Brandon. But you know Carmelo Anthony, and you hung out with Jim Boeheim, haven't you?
Yeah. I love coach. Get to work with the basketball program and athletics. And I did start the sports management school up at Syracuse.
Oh, cool.
One of the top ones in the country and real proud of the work we've done up there. It's become one of the top schools in the country. Considering that most people didn't think I was going to ever make it to college, let alone lift to 30. And then you're hanging out with the deans and the chancellor, and I become all academic, which just says it's never too late to be the person you want to be.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm working on that. Yeah.
So Brandon Steiner is in the memorabilia business and the sports autographs business. And the if you want something by Derek Jeter, if you want an autograph of Dwight Gooden, if you want an autograph of Mariano Rivera, you go to Steiner Sports, period. They have a team of salespeople that will help you get what you want and either keep it for yourself or give it as a gift or use it as a prize or, you know, in an auction. But he's the king of that. Any argument with that?
Well, I appreciate that. We also, you know, athlete procurement, you know, marketing of athletes. And obviously, we've got these great team deals around the country. We partner up with different teams and sports. But listen, we're very talent driven. You know, I've been doing it for 30 years. So a lot of players that come through this office.
I refuse to accept any humility on your part. You know more sports figures and have talked with and influenced more sports figures than most people even know about. And
well, it's been fun. It's been quite a cast of characters, yeah.
Athletes need you. They need your advice. They need what to do, how to be a human being in public, how not to be a jackass, how to say the right thing, how to do the right thing, how to sign an autograph. And you don't just help. This is not just a money thing for you. Your philanthropy is unbelievable. Some of it may be unknown, but it's unbelievable. Any argument with that?
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I don't know. I always feel like I could do a little bit more, but I'm, you know, something. I think the real joy is, I think I get tremendous joy above and beyond everything is trying to help people and use this influence that I've been able to have in business a little bit and help some other people that can use it. And, you know, the star power moves the needle. We know that. So, listen, I enjoy it and thank you for that, but I enjoy it and I feel like it's been a blessing. I mean, but I needed a lot of help along the way. So
of course. But diehards, let me explain this. I am blessed enough to have been in Brandon Steiner's office at 8 o'clock in the morning when he comes to work. And the first thing he does is figure out what he's going to give to people, what he's going to send to people in order to be able to make them feel good. I would dare say that Brandon has given away thousands of things without an expectation of return, either framed things, signed things, autographed things, booked things, baseballs, bats, you name it. And why don't you talk about that, Brandon, because I think that that's one of the things that separates you from everybody else who's in this, quote, business.
I mean, for me, I always start my day off with two acts of kindness. I try to do two things for two people that don't expect it. Just try to do two nice things. It could be a check. It could be some help. It could be a book. And then usually about a couple hours later, I get two thank you notes. You know, if I go and speak, you know, I pick two charities out and the money goes to the two charities. So, you know, I'm very grateful for that. Jeff, I think what people get confused about is most people, they're focused on the money grab. Let me do well and then I'll do some good. If I make some more money, then I'll do some good. As soon as I get through this week, then I'll go home and have a catch with my kid. But, you know, at the end of the day, doing well is not the direct, is not the real, doing well is not the path to doing good. Doing good is the path to doing well. It's the byproduct of it. The more good you do, believe it or not, it leads you to even doing more well. And I think most people reverse it. I don't know why that got confused. And I highly recommend it. It's like, well, let me just get done this month. Then I'm going to go on the diet. Then I'm going to start working out. No. You don't mean to tell me if you dieted, ate great, worked out great, did good for yourself, that would lead you to doing well? You wouldn't be more vibrant, effective in the office? Of course you would. You'd have more clarity. But somehow it got reversed. So anyway, back to your answers. You know, listen, I love starting my day off with doing good. And usually by starting my day off by doing good, it leads to a much better opportunity for me to do well as the day progresses.
I think it also keeps you in a good mood. I think you also feel good about who you are as a person and what you've done. And there tends to be a fulfillment part of it so that when you start to communicate with your people or your team, that you're doing it from a whole different state of mind than most, quote, bosses.
Yeah, I try. I mean, and I think I try to set a good example because I think as, you know, if you have a company that you're running or a sales group you're running, you want to set an example. It's not just all about the money grab and hitting your number for the month. I think it's important, and we all know you've got to hit your numbers, but I think you got to look at the things that help you, that lead up to getting to your numbers. Don't chase the money. Chase the things that get you the money. And part of that is feeling right, doing right, thinking about the right thing. Those are all components of, in helping hit your number. Now, you still got to go grind and get down to it. But I think sometimes people miss some of the other stuff. It's like serving a meal and just basically putting a steak on a plate and saying, okay, you know, we're just going to, you know, we all know that decoration on the plate, some vegetables, some potato. We know what the main part of the meal is, as it is in my company, and we got numbers to make. We're in a money grab. We got to make money here. But the accoutrements are important. It's important that we do stuff in this community that we're in it in New York, in New Rochelle. It's important that we do nice things for our customers. It's important we do those things. And it's my job to kind of guide it so it doesn't get too out of whack. But I think those things get underrated.
But a lot of our diehards, which is what we call our listeners, are saying to themselves right now, well, sure, it's easy, Brandon. You got money. I got a mortgage to pay. And they don't have any understanding that doing the right thing will make their mortgage a hell of a lot easier to pay. But I want to ask you this question. In the beginning of your life in Brooklyn, you were a hustler and you did whatever it took for you to get to the next plateau, the next level. At what point in your life did you realize that doing the right thing was better than being the monetary thing?
Well, first of all, I got to stop for 1 second. It starts with thinking about the right thing. It's very hard to do the right thing when you're not thinking about the right thing. Most people think that they think, well, that's just what I'm thinking. But then my actions, you can feel it. Mm-hmm. People can feel you. And when you think and do the right thing, believe me, you as a customer and as a coworker, as a boss, you feel that in someone. And I think it's important to start off by thinking about the right thing. You know, I thought about, like, to me, it started when I was like 12. You know, I was delivering the newspapers. I couldn't get these routes. I was trying to get more papers signed up so I could win a box of candy bars. And my mother was like, you know, Brandon, stop selling. Start solving. Start serving. How can you help? Bring some value. Like, you're selling something that 10 other people have. You go to the corner store, whatever. So this old woman, you know, that knocked on her door previously, I knew she got the newspaper every day, but it was stacked up to the ceiling. Looked like she hadn't thrown out the paper in 50 years. And I went back to go see her because she said, absolutely not. I'm not getting the paper delivered from you. And I was definitely trying to win those box of candy bars. I'm not going to lie. I was going for the money grab. I don't know if I was really necessarily thinking along the lines that my mother told me to, which was, you know, serve people and do the right thing. I was like, I want that box of candy bars. But I started thinking about, like, wow, I wonder what it's like for that woman to go out in bad weather for snow and torrential downpours. So I went back to her to ask her to get the paper. I said, look, if it's bad weather, snowstorms, windy, heat wave, a woman like your age shouldn't be outside. If I bring you milk and bagels twice a week, would you get the paper delivered then? I want to help you because in those kind of adverse conditions, it's not good for a lady like yourself to be outside. And she thought, that's so nice of you. And then what was great about that, Jeff, is she turned me on to 150 of our friends. Whoa. And one of the biggest paper routes at one point in Brooklyn as a 12-year-old with swagger.
That's a classic.
You know, it's like you got to do the right thing, think about the right thing. And unfortunately, the problem is thinking about the right thing usually curtails into thinking about somebody else first, not yourself. So if you want to fill yourself, forget yourself. Like, you know, you got to be consumed with your customer, consume with the people that you're dealing with, consume with your boss, consume with your, you know, how you can help them make their day easier, their job easier. Because people don't want to get rid of people that help them make their lives easier and better. As a boss, I can't get rid of an employee that's making my life better and easier. I just can't afford to lose that person. And same thing with somebody who's serving me or selling me. It's like, if that person's concerned with me and trying to help me every which way, you can't have that person not in your life.
Right. Exactly.
The goal is, how do you put yourself in a position, understand where that person's coming from, start serving, start solving.
So for those of you tweeters out there, you diehard people, Brandon Steiner, consume yourself with the consumer. And if you do that, you will certainly win. If not their heart, their wallet. And you have to go for both. You writing that down?
You know what I love about you, Jeff?
What?
I got to stop you for a second because I was just thinking how grateful I am because I never wanted to get in this camera. And when I came to see you, when I went to visit you down in Charlotte, you're like, Brandon, you're going to have to get in front of this camera. There's no way I could ever do this. I'm telling you, you're not going to just be able to write blogs. And that's good. You got to get in front of the camera. You got to do videos. You got to be more active. What I love about you is, and I think it's a big mistake that a lot of people make, but you didn't, is one thing to tell people what to do, and it's another people to show people what to do.
What I
love
agree.
About you is you do the most important thing, which is the combination of both. Yeah. You sat me down, and you actually did two or three videos with me. And then I said, you know something? This is really not that hard. I'm really glad he forced me to do that, because if I walk out of your apartment and I hadn't done that, I'm never doing this. And I'm very grateful for you that, because, you know, that's time you gave yourself, and probably frustrating because I'm not a quick, easy
one. Oh, come on. No.
Thank you, by the way. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
Brandon Steiner is not just a lovable character, he's a lovable person. When I first was introduced, literally formally introduced, it was at a Harvey McKay event where I was a speaker, and there was a bunch of other people in the room, but it was it was at Brandon's place, and I gave a talk about sales and life and stuff. And in that audience was also Dave Winfield, who is arguably one of the nicest people. Forget athlete. He's one of the nicest people on the planet. Tell me about your experiences with Winfield.
I mean, I started with Dave, and I'm old, but you know, I started with Dave before I even started Steiner, which was in the mid-80s. And you know what I loved about Dave is he was the entrepreneur spirit, definitely not looking to follow any paths, but blaze his own. He's the first athlete to start his own foundation. You think about that.
Wow.
Immediate. He was just, you know, I'd worked with Dave in his restaurant, the Border Cafe. So I was working on marketing schemes. I helped him market one of his books. He was just an outside the box thinker, you know, just always thinking ahead, and still is. He now works for the Players Association, is helping other players kind of with their future and everything.
It's perfect for him. It couldn't be a better gig. He also battled George Steinbrenner during his time in New York City, and that had to be a diversionary thought process that made his attitude stronger.
I think so. I mean, you learn. I mean, I think it takes two to tango, and dealing with George is not always the easiest thing, but I was with him at that particular time when he was going through all that, so I've heard his side of the story. Mm-hmm. And also had a little relationship with Mr. Steinbrenner, so kind of got a little sense of that side of the story. So, you know, it's interesting how that went down. And I would say, if Dave looked back on that, I'm not speaking for him, but he would say, as tough as that was, he learned a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of lessons learned there on both sides for both Mr. Steinbrenner and Mr. Winfield.
When I asked him about it, he said, Jeffrey, I can tell you one thing. I learned a lot. And when you're in New York City, and not New York, when you're in New York City, you learn a hell of a lot quicker than any other place on the planet.
I think like one of the things I've learned a lot recently, and we're just going through this with Bernie Williams, who was mad at the Yankees because they didn't redo his contract at the end. Patrick Ewing was mad because the Knicks didn't bring him in as a coach. What I've really learned is that if you really want to kill somebody in a deal, understand that the best deal you can make is when both sides walk away happy and a little bit upset. When you kill somebody on a deal, just remember, life's long, and
it
comes back. Like, people don't forget, and I think what really Dave had to realize, because he really won that negotiation with Steinbrenner. But the problem is, he won too big, and broadcasted it, and then the comeback on that is where the trouble came.
Well, he wasn't humble until later on. I should also tell you parenthetically, when Patrick Ewing came to Charlotte to be the coach, a coach at the Hornets, not the coach, but a coach.
Yes, the coach.
He used to go shopping at 10 o'clock at night at Publix, and I would bump into him at least once a week. For some unknown reason, it was just there. And I thanked him for probably one of the greatest college seasons ever of all time.
Great.
But I also thanked him for being a great athlete. And I know the guy never had a ring. I know the guy, you know, I know what his story is. But when you thank somebody for what they've done, because I'm a fan, I'm not just a, you know, and he was humbled. He's a really nice person.
He is a good guy. You'll never hear a teammate, anybody who's played with him, say a bad word. He's a great teammate, a warrior. Big man like that, no injuries, came out to play hard every night.
Yep.
He's where he's supposed to be now at Georgetown coaching. I think
I agree.
A much better job than what people give him credit for. I'm a fan of his, and I have a nice relationship with him. And
college basketball ain't what it was. I mean, there's more one and done's now than
I hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, what's good? What's the message?
Exactly. But the message is, if you grow up poor and you have a chance to make a few million bucks by playing in college for a year, you take it.
And even though if you don't know what the hell you're doing, you're too young to get in that situation, more than likely you're going to lose that money. Who cares?
You're going to act like a jackass. I can, you know, there's a lot of that. So now you're in a business where people want to get what you have to sell. I mean, they want it. They're sports fans all over the world. They want it for themselves. They want it for a gift. They want it for a charity. It's phenomenal. I mean, people want to buy your stuff. They don't need to be sold.
Well, the memories that matter. You know, I think when you have a story that actually is real and people are emotionally connected to the story, mm-hmm. you do tell it. And I think sometimes we forget because you told the story 100 times doesn't mean you can't tell it the 101st. It doesn't mean your story can't get a little bit better. Which is something you've taught me, Jeff. So you can always improve on your story, which is important. Not get bored with your story. So I think that for me, Steiner's just a memories company. I probably would have called it Steiner Memories because that's the memories that matter to people are the ones they want to hold on to. And I'm here to, basically tribute those memories, which is really what Steiner's all about.
I tell salespeople, even though it's your 1,000th time to say it, it may be my first time to hear it. And you have to say it, you know, with the same enthusiasm. But more than a memory, I think that if you – and I've talked to your salespeople, and I try to explain to them that rather than try to sell them a Derek Jeter jersey when they first start out on the phone, ask them about the first time they went to a ballgame with their dad. Because that's what everyone remembers. And, you know, I'm blessed with a pretty good memory, and – I can tell you about game after game after game, not just first game, but hundreds of games with my dad. And there's a lot of people that are like that, and they want that memory. They want to give the ball to their father. They want to keep the ball for themselves. But whatever it is, there's a reason behind every purchase that's made at your place. And it's up to your salespeople to find out what the reason is, why they want to buy. And for you diehards, if you don't know why your customer wants to buy, you're in trouble because you're going to sell your stuff and it may be a round peg in a square hole.
It's so important to go to people with what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a big blue shirt guy, Jeff, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just like you're a big Eagles and Phillies fan. Like, talking to you about the Carolina, you know, talking about anything but Phillies, why would you start with anything else?
Exactly.
But it's amazing how many blue shirts I've bought. You know, and it's amazing. A salesman's never called me and said, hey, we got some new blue shirts in. And it's not like I go to all these many stores. I go to two or three stores, but nobody ever follows up and says, we got some new blue shirts in.
Oh, my God.
I probably have 150 shirts, but, you know, being a collector and having OCD issues and everything else, you know, I'm always going to buy more because that's what we do. So 150 was not the cap or the limit for me. But it's amazing how nobody follows up with that. A little tidbit like that.
They don't get it.
Calling somebody up with something that they're not interested in.
They don't get it and they don't take notes about it.
Yep.
And they don't follow up or follow through.
Simple though. It drives me crazy.
So tell me about your new book.
Oh, I got a new book coming out beginning of October, Living on Purpose. And it's really a book about, the honesty was, I have about 150 reviews on Amazon on You Gotta Have Balls. And it was a great book. It's done very well, still selling, very happy, blessed. Because the first line of my book says, I'm not complaining, I'm explaining. And this one review, I mean, there was only two negative reviews out of all of them, but the one review said, very easy for Steiner's life, how it all came together as a kid, then this, college, and then.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. I was like, maybe I wasn't as transparent about the dark.
No, you were fine.
And the stuff that really didn't go well for me. And the stuff that really did, maybe I did miss a little bit of. And so I pick up the story really after I did the money grab. And I realized I was on the top of the ladder, and the ground underneath that ladder, Jeff, was a little wobbly.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that ladder wasn't against quite the right building. And you know something? I went through a revelation of how to get healthy. Now, I'm not a big work-life balance guy, but I was like, how do I get some respect into the other parts of my life? How do I start living my life for a living? Was kind of my thinking. Like, I love working. I'm not going to not work. I love working, but I love my kids. I love my wife. I want to be a little healthy. I don't want to go to doctors. I don't want to be getting knee replacements. So I started getting, and that's kind of what that book is kind of this transformation I went to that said, I'm going to still make a shitload of money because I have no problem with it, but I'm also going to be a better husband, better father, and all the transformation stuff that I learned. That's what the book is about. So if you want to prepare for getting a little bit older, this is the book for you.
Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. Sales, closing. That's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. You name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free. And so will you. It's funny to me that someone would accuse you of, it's easy for you to do. You Gotta Have Balls is a great book. And what Brandon doesn't say in the book is he was born with four balls and worked two of them off. And he got it down to one pair, which he still uses. And they're not real, by the way. They're brass. And I think that you need to understand that you don't just get lucky. You work hard, and that hard work creates luck for you. And that's the essence of Brandon Steiner. And when you get, quote, lucky from doing hard work, then it's up to you to do the right thing. And that's the essence of it.
Yeah, I think for me, I've always been the hardest working dude. Most people would tell you that grew up me everything. And one of the things I realized, and I'm cool with that, but I want to be the smartest working guy, too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I maybe wasn't as smart maybe as I could have been in a period of time. And I have no qualms about being till 2 a.m. and killing it. And I still do it, even at my age. Not for the money even, just because I'm just grooving and I'm loving it. But I feel like I could have been smarter, Jeff. I feel like I could have done myself better. And what I didn't want to do, because I knew I wasn't going to retire going to golf, mm-hmm. I was like, man, if you want to keep rocking and rolling and kicking some ass, you're going to have to be smarter. And that's kind of what I've done over the last 10 or 12 years.
I think that it's important to understand that people like us never retire. We work
until no intention. Why would I? You don't go and do what I've done and put the effort and energy to be extraordinary, loving what I'm doing so I can stop.
Exactly. Why would I do that? If you need me, I'll be at the beach.
I just killed myself to build this thing, which I love. I can't get enough of it. So one day maybe I could stop.
Yeah, bullshit.
I'll stop when I'm
out. I'm good. When I retire, it's because I'm dead. But
I'm loving it. But I also realized to do it on this level, I needed to be smarter. I needed to understand my health situation better. Yep. And some of the things that were required around me. And that I wasn't really in sync with.
I'm going to ask Brandon some of the things that he does, but I'm going to preface it to just put some thoughts in his head. I go to Paris every year, at least once a year, sometimes twice, and I take my 9-year-old daughter with me. Because if you're going to teach your kids about the world, you show them the world. This weekend is Memorial Day. I'm taking my kid out of school on Friday so we can leave first thing in the morning and get down to the beach, which is about a 3-hour drive, so we can spend a weekend together crapping around on the beach. I'm bringing one of my granddaughters, which is the same age as she, and my fiance Jennifer, and we're going to have a wonderful family weekend. We're going to eat hot dogs and all kinds of s'mores. And we'll worry about what we're going to do with our health when we get home, because we're certainly going to eat shit food the entire weekend. What do you do for R&R, Brandon? Where do you go?
It's a good question. And I mean, first of all, everything starts with me. Is, you know, I love exercising. I now exercise and do some kind of exercise every day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my most fun things to do is I play basketball where 20 of my friends come over. I have a basketball court in my house, a full court indoor, and my friends come over, and it's my court, my temperature, whatever it is, everything.
It's your balls. Come on, it's your. Oh.
And so that's one of my more fun things to do. And I like traveling. My wife and I, we travel a lot in random places. There's never any, you know, I always love that you go to the same place. We just go to different places constantly, and we do now more on a whim because our kids are out of the house, and I like the spontaneity of that. Of not knowing and just going and just checking it out and doing that sort of thing. Domestic, I love the movies, by the way.
Domestic or international travel?
Love that. What's that?
Domestic or international?
I like going out of the country. You know, to me, getting out of the country is more fun. I definitely love the country too, so we do both. Love going to the movies. And then my real fun thing, which I don't begrudge myself ever, is any type of rock and roll, especially classic rock.
Yeah.
I not only want to go, but I need to be good. I'm not looking to sit in some seats where maybe I kind of think I can recognize the drummer. I need to be like the first row, second, third.
So how was Springsteen on Broadway?
What's that?
How was Springsteen on Broadway?
I went the second time. I'll probably go one more time before that little shindig's over. And I got to tell you, man, the guy... He's Bruce. I mean, it's not only he's great, it's the effort to alter his state and alter his gig to something completely different and to make it outstanding. I never felt, I mean, it's not a cheap ticket.
No.
I felt like I underpaid.
We are probably going to go next month. We haven't made the formal plan yet, but I got to see it before it goes away, number one. Number two, I need to tell you about the benevolence of Brandon Steiner. I was there one night in New York. I went out to Steiner's place, helped his salespeople get a little bit better, talked to his warehouse people, had a great time with them. And then Brandon said, hey, I got these tickets for a show tonight. I can't make it. It's Billy Joel in Madison Square Garden. You want to go? I'm like, are you kidding me? So I saw Billy Joel in Madison Square Garden. Now, I saw Billy Joel in the 70s when he first started. And he was in Philadelphia. He was a big hit in Philadelphia because of WMMR. And he was equally as phenomenal. Most guys lose it. Billy Joel still has the heart. And he would ask the audience, which song do you want to hear? You want to hear this one or this one? I'm like, oh, my God. He's just an amazing performer, where he puts his entire soul into the process. And a lot of times, performers don't always put their whole game on. They put half a game.
And salespeople.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel when you go to a concert and your two favorite songs don't get played? Imagine how your customer feels if you don't go over the two main things that your company does with them. Think about how you, when you walk away from a concert and those two favorite songs don't get played, you're like almost bummed.
I know.
How many times a salesperson forget to tell you about a couple of the best things they're selling?
Before Fagan died, Steely Dan came to Charlotte and they didn't play King of the Road or King of the World. And it pissed me off. They played every song. They didn't play that song. I about died. And because that's when I was ready to get up and walk out and be fulfilled. But for some reason, they didn't. Yeah. It happens.
But you got to think of it in the business sense. A lot of times, you know, we get so caught up, and you got to remember, you know, everybody's got their favorites, what they want to hear. And your job is to deliver what people want to hear. It's deliver it the way they need to hear it.
You cannot tell the audience anything that they want to hear until you ask them what they want to hear. And you have to do it in a way where you're sincerely asking them, not in a way where it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Because every customer or potential customer has a bullshit meter that's way more powerful than yours.
That's true.
I always tell my sales guys to go to eBay and buy the bullshit button, you know, that little thing. So that when the customer says, your price is too high, you bang the button and say, that's bullshit. Oh, you got one? Cool.
That's bullshit.
See, all people who have a sense of themselves have a sense of reality.
Yes and no button, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay, cool. It saves a lot of time when you just bang the button. You don't have to give an explanation. Guy says your price is too high. You go, that's bullshit. And you're done.
Love it.
So what I'd like to be able to do, I'm hopeful that I'll be in New York soon. When I do, I'll pop out to Mount Vernon or to New Rochelle. And the reason I say Mount Vernon is because my family made the Jewish migration from Brooklyn to Mount Vernon to New Rochelle. So I was in New Rochelle. How long have you been there?
18 years.
Yeah. So I was going there when I was 10, maybe less. So I 81 Oxford Road is where my mother's sister lived. And we were trekking the Pulaski Skyway before it was the New Jersey Turnpike.
Wow.
So I'm familiar with your stomping grounds. It's a beautiful place. But I would really like to do something in your studio, hang around and talk about the value of the memory rather than the cost of the item.
Because it's everything.
I think that's a really important thing that I don't know whether your guys can convey that or not, because someone's going to say, well, a Derek Jeter ball for $200, I can get one for $150. You know what, dude? Go get it. Yeah.
That's true.
But you have done an incredible job for families, for people, for charity, and for me. I think that we all need to know Brandon Steiner a little bit better, not just as a business person, but as a human being. So I'm going to thank you for being on our interview today on Sell or Die. I can promise you that more will come. And we'll get your message out there because Christmas time is coming and you all need balls.
Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star in Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off. Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.